Hi everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
I'm Leah.
And we're looking at our literature article for this month, and we've got some Russian literature for you this time.
We do. Do you speak any Russian at all, Pat?
I do not. I think you, like, niet is no, and yep, that's about a da is yes.
Yes, and пока is like a short way of saying see you later.
Okay.
And I still remember I took Russian for 2 years in university. And realistically, there are only two real sentences I remember. One is, Я очень давно не говорит под русским язык.
That was awesome.
Which means I haven't spoken Russian for a long time. And очень хорошая водка, which means really good vodka.
Okay. And did you get to read any Russian literature as part of that?
I did not get to read in Russian. It was never... Okay. Russian is quite a difficult language.
I bet.
The level of Japanese, or, you know, when you start getting into all of the declensions of the verbs and the declensions of the pronouns and everything, it's very difficult.
I have read some Russian novels in English. I read War and Peace, but, like, in parts. Like, I would read, like, a bunch of it, and then I go, I need to go and read something else. I'll come back to this after another book.
And you balance the tables out with War and Peace on one side and Moby Dick on the other side.
I have not read, not tried that.
The same thickness there.
I really like Anna Karenina. That's probably my favorite of them.
I like the Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah, read that one. I remember
them being very dark.
Yeah, not so much. There are light little bits here and there.
Right.
I think Tolstoy went for a bit more light than Dostoevsky overall.
It's still War and Peace. I guess in the peacetime he got a little bit lighter, right?
Yeah. But this story is a short story by Alexander Pushkin, The Queen of Spades. So let's read through what happens in the story first. Herman is an officer in the Russian army in the days of the Russian Empire. His peers often gamble, and while Herman doesn't participate himself, he always watches them and listens to their conversations. One night, an officer recounts how his grandmother, a countess, lost her fortune at faro, in which players bet on which cards will be drawn from a deck. Fortunately, the countess subsequently learned the secret of which three cards to bet on to win at faro, and thus she was saved from ruin. Herman, motivated by greed, becomes consumed by the idea of learning this secret. In pursuit of his goal, Herman seduces the Countess's ward Lizaveta to get into the Countess's house. He confronts the Countess and draws a pistol to demand the secret from her, and she promptly dies of fright. He escapes and later attends the Countess's funeral, where he is terrified when she appears to open her eyes and glare at him. Later that night, he is visited by her ghost, who gives him the secret. To win, Herman must play just one game of faro each night, placing a single bet in the following sequence: 3, 7, ace. Herman can't wait to get rich. On the first night, he bets his entire savings on the 3 and wins. The following night, he doubles his wealth by putting everything on the 7. On the final night, he bets on the ace, but when the ace is revealed, Herman is astonished to find that he has somehow bet and lost everything on the Queen of Spades. The card, which he now perceives resembles the Countess, seems to wink at him. So the story starts with, well, we're actually going to look at the title first, Greed Punished in Pushkin's The Queen of Spades.
It sounds like there's going to be some morality here.
Yeah, there is a lot of greed to be seen in this story. We'll mention that again in part two of our article. But greed, of course, is the noun form of greedy. If you're greedy, you really want something, a lot of it, more than you need of it. Often food, but it can be money.
It can be something that other people have.
Yeah.
So it combines with jealousy a lot of times.
Right. So in this case, it's greed for money. The character of the main character, Herman, wants to win money. He wants to kind of do it in a cheaty way that doesn't involve working hard. So yeah, he is greedy. He is suffering from greed.
And who is Herman? Well, Herman is an officer in the Russian army in the days of the Russian Empire. So he is not, you know, a really low level soldier. He is a little bit higher. He has a position as an officer. They don't tell us what his position is, if he's a lieutenant or a colonel or anything like this. But he's an officer in the Army. And of course, the Army is the part of the military that tends to do most of their work on land as opposed to Navy on sea, and the Marines that are just crazy and do their work everywhere they can. Air Force in the air. Yep. And he is in the Army in the days of the Russian Empire. So the Russian Empire would be all of the nations that were held together under Russia's control during that time and being led by who? Well, an emperor, right? Because the leader of an empire would be an emperor.
They called them the Tsars.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that was the Russian Empire disappeared during the First World War. That's when it ended. So that gives us a sort of an idea. It did last for a long time. So
right.
We can kind of guess that it's some 19th century. Sounds about right
and
for what's going on.
And he is from the 19th century. The writer Pushkin yeah. is from the 19th century. So this also makes sense.
Okay. So Herman's peers often gamble. And while Herman doesn't participate himself, he always watches them and listens to their conversations. Now, the word peer is used to mean kind of the people who are on the same level as you. They're the people you would associate with. They're mostly of the same rank as you. If you're in a class, your peers are your classmates, but not your teacher. In a company, your peers, if you're a manager, your peers would be the other managers. If you were a regular worker, your peers would be the other regular workers. So we know Herman's an officer, so his peers are other officers.
True that. And he doesn't participate himself in the gambling. So he starts out in the beginning of the story not even gambling. He's just kind of an onlooker checking out the situation and listening to the stories that are being told around the gambling tables. He always watches the other officers, and then he listens to their conversations. As we continue on, it says, one night, an officer, his peer, right, recounts how his grandmother, so the officer's grandmother, who is a countess, lost her fortune at faro, in which players bet on which cards will be drawn from a deck. So we have the officer, his peer, who is telling. If you recount something, you tell about something that happened before. Doesn't really have anything to do with count, ironically, but it is about telling something that happened before. So he's telling a story from before, from his grandmother, who happens to be a countess. Now, a countess is the wife or the widow of a count or an earl. And that's a title that you get in kind of noble society in a lot of countries. But, you know, here it could be Russia, or I think we are talking about Russia. So a Russian countess. And she lost her fortune.
Yeah. In this game of cards. Now, it's the card game has got a lot of complicated rules. All you really need to know is that players will bet on which card will be drawn. They'll bet some money to say, oh, the next one will be the three, the next one will be the five, something like that. That's the basic rule.
And people do get to count their cards on the side with like a little piece of paper or something if they want to, so that they can kind of get a good guess of what card might be next.
Yeah. So the countess lost her fortune. This officer's grandma lost her money. Fortunately, the countess subsequently learned the secret of which three cards to bet on to win at faro, and thus she was saved from ruin. So fortunately is just an adverb that means good luck, a good thing happened. This was a lucky thing that solved the problem.
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately is the opposite. We use that for giving bad news. Fortunately can give good news. And the word subsequently means after something else that's already been mentioned. So she lost all her money. After that, she learned the secret. And then she presumably used that secret to win back the money and was saved from ruin.
Right. So she was no longer in financial ruin after winning. Herman, motivated by greed, becomes consumed by the idea of learning the secret. Okay, so he's motivated by greed. It means that greed is pushing him. His desire to get this money is really pushing him forward to do whatever it is he's going to do that we're going to read about next. And he becomes consumed by. Here, it's like you're eaten up by this need for something. He's consumed by the idea of learning the secret. You can also talk about a shark, or not maybe a shark, but a fish being consumed by a shark. Or you can think of being eaten up by something. It's just tearing you down piece by piece, and it's just taking you over.
So what does Herman do? We see in pursuit of his goal, Herman seduces the Countess's maid, Lizaveta, to get into the Countess's house. So we talked about him being consumed by something, this idea of learning the secret, that's his goal. And your pursuit of a goal is all the things you try to do to get it. Yeah. We're using it as it's a noun. A pursue is the verb. He is pursuing his goal. He's chasing after it. He's going to try to catch it. And he seduces the maid. So in this case, it means he's saying, oh, I love you so much. I'm going to marry you. Like, let me build a beautiful life for you. All you have to do is just please let me into your mistress's home.
Just let me hang out for a little while with your mistress at the house.
Yes. So, of course, he's not telling her the exact truth. He's not seducing her because he really loves her. He's just trying to get inside so he can meet the Countess.
And get inside he does. So, in fact, what he does next is he confronts the Countess and draws a pistol to demand the secret from her, and she promptly dies of fright. So if you confront somebody, you go up to them and you say, this is what I want. This is what's going to happen. Sometimes when you're in a fight with someone who's done something wrong to you, you will confront them. You will go up and say, I know what you did. You did something that you shouldn't do to me. And that's confronting them about something that they have done or confronting them about something they've stolen. And he is confronting the Countess, a woman he doesn't even know, and he's drawing a pistol. So this woman has a gun, a pistol,
He has a pistol. Yeah, she's in her face.
And she's sitting there, I don't know this man. He's got a gun in my face, and he's demanding something from me. He is absolutely wanting me to tell him her secret, right? And she doesn't go, let me tell you my secret. She instead dies, and she doesn't just die. She dies of fright. So the gun in her face scares her so badly that she just dies very quickly, promptly.
Mm. She is a very old woman. That's the idea. True. She's the officer's grandmother, so she is quite old. Okay, we're going to take a short break here. We'll pause in our story and listen to our Chinese teacher for a bit. And when we come back, we're going to get into the slightly stranger part of the story where things get a little spooky. See you in a few minutes.
听众朋友大家好，我们今天要带大家来看一个故事，叫做《黑桃皇后》The Queen of Spades。 那这个黑桃皇后是什么东西啊？其实它是扑克牌的黑桃皇后。那我们知道那个扑克牌其实有各种不同的花色，像是黑桃叫做 Spade， 那爱心呢就叫做 Heart， 如果是那个菱形啊，我们说的方块叫做 Diamond，D-I-A-M-O-N-D。啊，最后就是有一个梅花的形状啊，那个梅花的符号就叫做 club，C-L-U-B。啊，如果说是黑桃皇后，叫做 the queen of spades。啊，如果说是ace of club， 就是所谓的那个一点啊。哎，对了，扑克牌的一点叫做 ace 哦 ，A-C-E。如果是梅花一点，叫做 ace of clubs。好，这个是稍微补充一下。总而言之，我们现在不是要带大家玩牌啦，是要看《黑桃皇后》这样子的一个很经典的文学作品。它是俄国文学之父普希金 （Pushkin） 所写的哦。好，我们今天先来看一下这个故事大纲是什么。总而言之呢，主角就是 Herman。Herman 他就出现在我们第一段的第一句。那他是一个 officer， 他是一个俄罗斯帝国的陆军军官。不过呢，因为他的 peers 啊，他的同僚啊、同事啊，都常常赌博。然后常常赌博，那他自己有没有参与呢？他是没有参与，不过他都会在旁边看，然后在旁边听。然后呢，重点来喽，在第一段第三句的地方，有一天晚上啊，他的同僚有一个军官就讲说，哦，他的这个祖母啊，有一个Countess 伯爵夫人哦，他就很喜欢玩一个 Pharaoh 法罗游戏，后来几乎都破产了。不过后来呢，就是他的这个祖母啊 Countess 就知道如何在法罗游戏当中下哪几张牌才能够获胜，后来他就赢了很多钱。所以 Herman 就开始觉得，哇，这个好像是一个赚钱的一个好时机耶，他就一心想要知道这个秘密。所以我们在第一段的第三句这个地方啊，就出现了这个所谓扑克牌游戏叫做 Pharaoh。 在前面 One Pharaoh， 这个 One Pharaoh 这个 游戏是怎样的游戏呢？这句要特别挑出来的原因是因为其实它也有补充说明的关系子句，逗点之后从 in which 开始一直到句尾都可以左右挂号。不过有时候大家就常常就会分不出来到底关系子句是要填 which 还是 in which 还是 where 还是 when 还是 what 等等之类的呢。好，我们来就这个句子当中来看 in which 的话呢， which 没有问题，一定指的是前面的 Pharaoh，就是所谓这个扑克牌游戏，而 in which 指的是在这个游戏当中，可是加上这个 in 之后，就会让这两个字啊，在括号里面的关系子句本身当成副词，也就是说，在这个游戏当中，玩家要怎么玩？汇聚之后会加上完整的句子，所谓完整就是不缺主词也不缺受词。好，那我们要怎么分？我们在括号里面从动词。Will be 这个地方你可以圈起来，那前面都会有主词啊， be 动词后面的 from 后面也都有受词了，所以句子读起来 players bet on which cards will be drawn from a deck 什么都不缺，那这个时候 in which 这个所谓的关系词的地方就会加副词表示地点哦，在这个游戏当中，当然在这里不是真正的地方啦，而指的是在游戏当中。好，那这个时候我们就要同样看第一段第四句哦。第四句我们是不是有看到 which three 跟刚刚我们在关系子句当中的 which cards 一样，但在这里不是冠带，它只是个形容词，指的是哪一个或哪三张牌。好，在第一段我们要先厘清这个东西。好，接下来到了第二段呢，我们就讲 Herman 他就很想要赚钱嘛，所以其实他就是贪婪的关系。在第一段最后一句第五句逗点前面有一个 greed， 这个字其实会贯穿整个故事，所以贪钱为了要实现目标他怎么做呢？ Herman 到了第二段他就去勾引伯爵家夫人当中啊，有一个被监护人，其实就是他的养女了，叫做 Lizaveta， 好，这个是一个俄文，他进入伯爵夫人他家，后来呢居然拿出手枪跟伯爵夫人对峙，逼他一定要告诉玩 Pharaoh 的秘密，害伯爵夫人直接当场就死了。
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, so stay tuned and we'll be right back in just a moment. Welcome back, guys.We're talking about The Queen of Spades by Alexander Pushkin, and we've made our way to the point where the Countess has died of fright. And as we continue on here, we're going to see what's going to happen next. Well, remember, she was terrified, and she died, and now he escapes. That would be Herman, our fellow Herman who pulled the pistol on the Countess. He escapes and later attends the Countess's funeral.Where he is terrified when she appears to open her eyes and glare at him. So, yeah, he ran away, he escaped, after pulling the gun on her and basically killing her without shooting her, and he goes to her funeral, so the place where the ceremony where she is being buried in the ground, maybe first at a church, they will talk about her life and talk about her and how wonderful she is with her casket there where maybe her body is lying, and then they will go out to the graveyard and they willbury her. They will put her into the ground. And he is terrified by something.
Yeah, to be terrified means to be scared, but not just a little scared, really super scared. It's one of those strong adjectives. You can be scared, you can be frightened, but in this case, you are terrified. The kind of fear that makes you just like run away or freeze in place.Because she appears to open her eyes. This dead body appears to open her eyes and glare at him. To glare at somebody is to give them a very hard, very angry kind of look. Like, you killed me. I know what you did. The kind of look your teacher would give you if he heard you talking in class.
Exactly.
That would be a glare.
Yeah.
It can be a verb and a noun. So later that night, he is visited by her ghost, who gives him the secret.
Now, wait a minute. Why is he getting a benefit after he's caused her to die? This
well,
has to be what all of our readers are wondering,
yeah,
right?
There's one bit I had to kind of cut out of the story to abridge it to fit the right length.
Right.
But he has to promise to marry Lizaveta.
Ah, so there's a little bit more to this whole story, right?
Yeah.
She's not just showing up and going, you killed me, let me tell you my secret.
Yeah, he has to kind of make a promise, but that's not all. She does, however, tell him the secret. To win, Herman must play just one game of faro each night, placing a single bet in the following sequence, 3, 7, ace. So what that means, he's got to go to some gambling place one night. He can't play more than once, just
right.
One single game. And on the first night, he has to bet on the 3, the next night on the 7, and the final night on the ace. That's what we mean by sequence. The order in which things appear or the order in which things happen. So if he plays it differently, if he goes 3, ace, 7, he's kind of broken that. That's not going to work. If he does 2 on the first night, that's not going to work. So he has to follow this exact sequence, this exact order, if this magic secret to make him rich is going to happen.
But Herman, he is very greedy. So I think he's going to follow that sequence just to perfection, even though it showed up in a dream. Herman can't wait to get rich. He's ready to do it. He's motivated to get rich. And he doesn't want to do it the normal way. He wants to do it through gambling, right? So he's going to go to the gambling hall. And on the first night, he bets his entire savings on the 3 and wins. Okay, so he goes in there and bets everything he has, his entire savings, everything he has in his savings, all the money, maybe some jewelry, puts it on the table and says, here, I want to bet on 3. And he wins. So he goes back again.
Yeah. So the following night, he doubles his wealth by putting everything on the 7. So to double his wealth mean he doubles the amount of money. That's this kind of standard gambling stake. Whatever you put in, that's how much you would get back. In
right.
Faro, you actually bet with small coins. So if you put like a 10 NT piece on the 3, you would get that back, but then you would get another 10 NT piece. It's
okay,
kind of
so
like...
you double
your money if you are successful. So he puts everything on it. That's when we say put everything on the 7, we mean he bets his entire stake, his whole money collection, that the 7 will be the next card drawn. So he doubles his wealth. It works again.
And on the final night, he bets on the ace, as he's supposed to, because that is the 3rd in the sequence. But when the ace is revealed, Herman is astonished to find that he has somehow bet and lost everything on the Queen of Spades. So he thought he did what he was supposed to do, but things are turning out a little bit differently, and the ace is revealed. It was supposed to be the ace, but he didn't bet on the ace. He
is
shocked. If you're astonished, you're just shocked and amazed, and it can be bad or it can be good with astonished. He's astonished to find out that he has lost everything because, in fact, he bet on the Queen of Spades.
Yeah, it's gone a bit weird here. He was sure he'd put all this money on the ace. In fact, he put it on the Queen of Spades. The Queen of Spades is one of those cards. It's got a lot of significance, if you believe in that kind of thing. It's a powerful card. Some people would say it's a bad luck card.
I like how a lot of the cards actually have different kinds of personalities. Mm. They talk about, I think it's a suicide queen or king. Suicide king
pointing
holds up
a sword
dagger to his head.
Yeah.
And the one-eyed jacks and the two-eyed jacks, you can use those in games to be like special cards.
Yeah, the queen, in some games, you're just trying to avoid getting the Queen of Spades in your hand. I think that's one game I've played.
And then you have to try and give it secretly to someone else and stick it in their hand.
Exactly.
Kind of like Old Maid.
Yeah, exactly. So he's lost all his money, and then we see the card, which he now perceives resembles the Countess, seems to wink at him. So he didn't notice this when he put the money down, but now he's looking at the card again. He perceives something. He notices something. Like, that's what he sees. So perceives is one of those words that kind of just means like looks, but there's a bit of understanding along with it. Like, you looked at it the first time and you didn't see it, but now you look at it again and now you see it. and it resembles the countess. It looks like the woman whose death he is responsible for.
Now, is this really likely to be the case, or is this something else that's going on in his mind? This is something that we're going to talk about a little bit further in our next day's piece.
Exactly. But the card does, again, we use the verb here, seems to wink at him. So in his mind, what he is perceiving, the card closes its eye. In the same way that the dead countess seemed to open her eyes.
And so, glare at him.
Yeah, nice little parallel of how the different things are working here. But yeah, so it seems as though the countess has tricked him and kind of, you know, you thought you were getting the secret from me, but in fact, I've set you up. And, you know, this is my revenge for causing my death and breaking my mate's heart and being greedy. That's one interpretation of it. You could assume there are some others. Well, that's the end of our read-through of the first part of the article. We're going to now hand over to our Chinese teacher again, and then we'll be back in a few minutes to wrap up.
伯爵夫人当场死了之后 ,Herman 居然逃了。逃了之后也没人发现是人是他吓死的。总而言之呢，还参加了这个 Countess 伯爵夫人的葬礼。而在葬礼上啊，当他在葬礼的时候，那个伯爵夫人好像把眼睛张开着瞪着他看，哇，这真是好像一个鬼故事耶。当然 Herman 是非常恐惧啦。不过我们要看一下第二段的第三句，这个地方同样也出现了一个所谓的官复这个东西，就是我们刚刚第一段提到的。好，我们先把第二段第三句挑出来，逗点前面的先行词是 The Countess's funeral， 伯爵夫人的葬礼。逗点之后的 where 我们可以把它圈起来，当然我们在这里可以先左右括号。那为什么是 where 呢？我们可以发现后面的动词 is terrified， 前面有主词啦。Herman 被吓到，什么时候被吓到？ When she appears to open her eyes and glared at him， 是不是什么都不缺？句子很完整，所以这里的主谓圈起来的 where 其实就是在葬礼当中。如果要还原是两个字的话，就是At which, at the funeral, 在葬礼当中。好，所以现在大家基本上应该可以分辨什么时候会用官带或者是所谓的官复。那后来呢，发生什么事？居然当晚在晚的时候，晚一点的时候啊，伯爵夫人的鬼魂还告诉他银牌的秘诀哦。所以这个时候啊，故事就变得好像有一点科幻了，对不对？到底是真正的故事还是一个鬼故事呢？是一个幻觉的故事呢？好，为了获胜 ，Herman 基本上每晚只能够玩一局 Faro， 而且要按照以下的顺序来赌注哦。第一晚先赌三，然后接着再压七，最后再压 Ace， 就是所谓的一点 Ace。那当然 ，Herman 就迫不及待的想要致富啊，所以他就按照这样子的顺序去压。可是压到第三天的时候啊，最后一晚他压注于 A， 可是牌上的 A 被揭晓的时候 ，Herman 却 astonished 很震惊的发现自己不知道怎么样了，居然把所有的筹码都压在黑桃皇后上面 ，The Queen of Spades。所以这张牌呢，他基本上就觉得看起来好像是女伯爵，好像跟他眨了一个眼睛，哎，捉弄他，让他到最后还是破产了。我们看一下第三段的最后这一句哦，当然这边还是有一个关系子句啦。我们看到的前面主词是 the card， 逗点之后从 which， 因为打了逗点嘛，所以右括号一样在逗点的地方。这里的 which 是用来补充说明 the card， 也就是看起来好像是女伯爵的这张卡似乎在跟他眨眼哦。我们明后天还会再继续谈一下这个黑桃皇后的故事。我是安娜，我们下次见。
That's it for today, everybody. And thank you for joining us at English Digest. We'll be back again next time to take a little bit deeper look into the story and talk a little bit more about who Alexander Pushkin is in the following 2 days. For English Digest, I'm Leah.
And I'm Pat, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.